Blog Talk Radio.
The job market can be an adventure and a high wire act at the same time. Mix in a tough economy and a fickle Congress playing games with legislation that can hit our wallets big time. Welcome to the end of 2010, where the holidays are here and your career path may be changing, restarting, or morphing into something very different. We're talking today with a leading expert in career transitions, Dr. Rhonda Waters, about what it's like to survive during the holidays for the unemployed, the underemployed, and for those hanging on to their jobs. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Good afternoon or good day, wherever you happen to be. I know that we have those who are listening in the chat room and online, and I know that this program is probably going to be downloaded quite a bit just because of the environment that we're in right now. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I'm glad that you're listening to this show. If you have a pen or a pencil handy, I would recommend that you get it out so you can take notes, because I'm sure we're going to take you around with websites and give you some very pertinent information with Dr. Rhonda Waters. First of all, I want to say happy belated Thanksgiving again to those. We had a wonderful holiday feast in my household in Connecticut. We did our show live on the road last week, as many of you know, and then I dashed off to my daughter's house and son-in-law in West Hartford, Connecticut, and we just had a great time all weekend long. We had a multicultural meal, an American-Jamaican meal, and just mixed it all up for big fun all weekend between Thursday and Sunday. There were 11 of us around our Thanksgiving table, and the fun will just continue throughout the holiday season. So for those of you who are just reflecting on what happened for Thanksgiving, I hope that you will continue with your celebrations throughout the holiday season. Speaking of that, this is, I guess, the second day of Hanukkah. Hanukkah started last night, and Hanukkah starts on the Hebrew calendar day of 25 Kislev, representing the last 8 days. It actually is an 8-day festival, again, beginning on the 25th day of Kislev, commemorating the victory in 165 B.C. of the Maccabees over Antioch Epiphanes. And that's at the rededication of the Temple of Jerusalem. It's also called the Feast of Dedication. And for all of my Jewish friends and colleagues around the world, we say Happy Hanukkah. And then a big surprise came a couple of hours ago when the World Cup Federation decided on Russia for the 2018 Russian, now it's going to be the World Cup that's going to be held in Russia for the very first time, and also Qatar or Qatar, however you want to pronounce it, for 2022. So they decided on two World Cup destinations, 2018 in Russia and Qatar 2022, and the United States was actually bidding against Qatar in 2022. We didn't win again. We didn't win in 2014 for Brazil. Brazil is now going to be the winner there. Those are the way things work out. If you know, we're going to talk about World Cup and how our world is really changing at the end of our program and give you a sense of the other countries that bid on 2018 and 2022 after we talk with our guest this morning. Lots of changes taking place, and I'm excited and very happy to have a friend and colleague. She's been on the show before, lots of downloads back in the spring. She was also a speaker at the October 28th Multicultural Conference, and I said I need to bring her back now because of all the things that are taking place in our economy. Dr. Rhonda Waters, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carol. It's a pleasure to be with you as always, and I really appreciate your update. I was anticipating the World Cup announcement, but I was not available to hear it. So it is interesting to hear where we have to go to visit,
so
and
true.
The new places we'll be seeing, and that will be very interesting.
Yeah, you know, we're actually going to talk throughout this hour about change. And literally, if you look at what's happening with World Cup and where they're taking the World Cup around the world, and the U.S. is just not being considered, that's change. They wanted to go to places that were different. They're looking at regions of the world where soccer is very influential. So it's a wake-up call for the U.S. It really is. It happened actually at 1500 Greenwich Mean Time, and I just get mixed up with the GMT calendar, you know, the time schedule, because, again, we're so U.S.-based, but it happened a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, well, yeah. And it's certainly a great opportunity for those other countries, so I definitely see that. Russia, of course, is a huge place, and they can,
right.
I don't know where exactly it'll be located.
All
Qatar
over
is smaller, but yeah, it could be all over and spread around the revenue from the travel and all the other things that are going to go on. So certainly that's a benefit to them. And the U.S. really hasn't embraced soccer in a massive way that it has been in other countries. So certainly going to places it hasn't been makes a very reasonable decision for the folks in charge at FIFA. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, I actually hear commentators who continue to make fun of soccer, and they, you know, brag about how I've never played soccer. Well, that doesn't help. You know, it just doesn't help.
No, and it doesn't help, right, for the other countries to hear that when they're saying, we want the soccer games here.
Exactly. I'm sure the judges, obviously, they can watch CNN and a lot of the other ESPN, and they said, well, I think, no, we're going to go to Qatar this time, not the U.S.
And there won't be any argument about where the tax money and all the other expenses come from, because the government over there can afford it. So
you got it.
It got all the rest of our money. So
interesting. So, you know, speaking of change, what has changed from the last 10 years with employment for those of us in the U.S. and beyond? I mean, you've been studying this. You travel. You're very well versed in terms of technology. What do you see are the principal changes as it relates to career paths?
The average person now spends less and less and less time on any individual job. Pretty much every year, the amount of time a person spends on a job seems to go down by about a year. So the average time a person spends on a job now is down between 3 and 4 years per job. So if you take a person who is going to probably have a 40-year, that's what I said, 40-year work cycle, they're going to have 10 to 12 jobs. So that means you're not going to go, very rarely are you going to see any more people going in the door of companies and expecting to stay there till they retire. It is not going to happen.
Right.
Expecting it, wanting it will not make it occur. Big companies don't want long-term employees. Their behavior demonstrates that. Some companies do want long-term employees because they don't want to spend so much money training them. But a lot of companies, big companies, wear widgets to them. Where a name on a, where a, an expense item on a payroll, and not sometimes as much a person as we were when companies were smaller. And most times, even if you don't change and your job doesn't change, that technology changes. So a person, for example, who made whose department became automated 10 years ago, now may be doing the job of what might have been 4 or 5 other people when it had to be done by hand. Now that it's done by machine or by computer or by other things, it can lower the number of people that they have in a department. And people need to be able to account for their time in a different way. So if you think you're going to, and I actually meet people in their 20s who say, well, I'm going to get a job at a big, giant company, and I'm going to stay there for the next 40 years.
Even
though
now they're saying that?
Yes.
Wow.
I hear grown people telling me that, like barely grown people. And I'm almost stunned, and I'm just saying that goal is not impossible, but it's unlikely. So planning to make yourself marketable for or more marketable for your next job, if that's what you wish to do, is important. You can't go in and say, hi, I'm a people person. Frankly, they never really cared about that. But you need to develop skills and enhance the skills you have, which may or may not mean going to college or taking a certification class or adding to the things you know how to do, even computer programs that change and update, staying on top of how things work, because employers don't want to train you for basic things now. They want you to know how to do most things when you come in. So they expect you to be functional. They want you to be able to work with people virtually, not necessarily have hands-on with staff or with a boss. There are lots of companies now that you can get hired to be the person when if we're watching infomercial in the middle of the night, companies actually hire people to work from home to answer those phone calls.
Wow.
So your boss might be in another state or another country, but the phone rings on your place and you answer it.
And you know, that's a good point that you brought up, Rhonda, because more and more people are having a reporting structure that's virtual. You can be in one city or one location, operate from your home. You can work for a large company, but
mm-hmm.
your boss can be 5 or 6 or 1,000 miles away. So it means, again, skill sets are different. There's more self-discipline that has to be in place to
mm-hmm.
accommodate that kind of relationship.
Right, and you have to demonstrate time over time that you are trustworthy in order to have and keep one of those jobs. Because
right.
now, of course, every keystroke you touch on your computer is recorded. And if you
mm-hmm.
work for a company, you know, remotely, and a lot of times these jobs, they're entitled to look at your computer schedule, so they can actually see whether how much time you spent online, how much time you've been doing certain calls, whether your work is done or not. Those kind of things are readily looked at through the software. It doesn't take any heavy lifting by companies to do that. So they find out pretty quickly who's actually working and getting things done versus those who are, you know, out having, you know, their friends over or doing laundry or whatever.
Or people
time.
who are on Facebook all day.
Yeah.
And they should be working.
yeah, when they're supposed to be working. Although, I mean, for companies who... That is a job to have now, to be a Facebook representative for a larger company, a social media expert. All the big companies have them. So if you want to be a Facebook fiend, but the thing is, of course, you have to demonstrate to Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Papa John's that you can have a conversation with other people through Facebook in a positive, informative manner and not, you know, ebonic letter bomb, blame people. So you have to show you can deal with things in a professional way.
Yeah.
Can you
paint some picture for us now? The way I pitched this show was talking about holiday survival tips for the unemployed, the
mm-hmm.
underemployed, and for those hanging on to their jobs. Can
mm-hmm.
you paint the picture of what's taking place December 2010 in the work that you are seeing, not only just here in Massachusetts, but certainly
mm-hmm.
around the marketplace in the United States and beyond?
Well, as not a secret to anybody, except for retailers who are hiring some people as they do seasonally for this time of the year, there's not a lot of hiring going on. Companies have sorted out that they can work the 5 people they have still on the payroll pretty much into the ground without rehiring anybody. Until they decide at some point that they need to go into growth mode in order to actually move ahead. And that will happen. It's not happening as fast as we'd like it to. But there's also the option. Some people forget that, and I keep telling folks this, most people who are working now, if you're under 50, maybe even under 40 now, in many cases, you're going to earn $1 million during your working career. It's time for some of us to start thinking of ourselves as millionaire business owners. Will you behave differently if you see yourself in the long term instead of just in the short term? So, yeah, you've been laid off, which is not any fun. I've been laid off. It's not any fun. But that doesn't mean you can't do anything until you get hired by someone else. If you
mm-hmm.
need cash for the holidays, first thing I want to point out is I know some folk, as I know you do, who have deep pockets. And some of them don't really give much in the way of gifts, expensive gifts. What rich people do, or folk with real money, is they give of their time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily give expensive gifts. People are telling me who are, you know, on unemployment saying, well, I have to buy an Xbox for my kid. Really?
Huh.
Some people are spending more money than they have, which is putting them into a much more stressful situation during the holidays.
Right.
It's time to maybe review what the purpose of the holiday is, and it's not shoveling money out, although I understand people who are in retail want us to do that. And if you can afford to do it and that has meaning for you, that's one thing. But if you're underemployed or unemployed, spending money on expensive gifts is not the way to get out of the hole you're in. Another way to think, because it just makes it worse. It's like the old cartoon where the faucet's on, pouring water is overflowing out of the sink, and the person is bailing the basement instead of turning the water off. You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
What an image.
And so it's a way to think about things in a slightly different way. Last year, for example, for my brother's birthdays, I went through my mother's photo albums and I found childhood pictures of them. And with one of my other brothers, we helped create photo albums for each of my siblings.
Oh, that's
which they valued, I really believe, much more than anything I could have given them.
Right, yes. That tie could have given them.
Yes, so it's a different way of looking at it. There are also opportunities that a lot of folk put past, like some of the younger folk who are physically able, where we live in the Northeast where there's snow. Even if you have a snow blower, if you live in a neighborhood, not everybody likes to shovel. You can pick up some extra money as a business, just putting out some 10 flyers on your computer and offer to, you know, snow blow everybody's yard for $20 a piece, you'll have a line outside your house.
You know, that's amazing that you said that. I'm chuckling because my son-in-law all weekend was working on fixing the snow blower.
Okay.
All weekend long.
If he's got it going.
Turn that into a business.
There is definitely an opportunity. And areas of the country where people maybe are seniors in a place and, you know, of a certain age, they don't want to be shoveling, and having somebody actually come and offer to take care of that is a great thing for them to have. So I would encourage folk who are looking for a way to generate revenue that is a way. They're driving seniors from place to place. There's all kinds of ways to earn a few extra dollars. You don't have to sit at home.
Right, so those who are looking for work, you don't have to necessarily go to the websites and load your resume on various websites. In addition to that, you can go out there and find some physical work or some services that you can offer in your own neighborhood. That's a great suggestion.
I mean, you still have to work the websites, though.
Yes, yeah. So this is like a dual track that you're on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What about those who are underemployed? They are working. They're working hard, and maybe they don't necessarily have a lot of time. What kind of suggestions would you give to them for the holiday, for those who are working a full-time job, or there are people who are working two part-time jobs to make ends meet? What is your suggestion to them, Dr. Rhonda Waters?
Same rules apply, is to think of yourself as a long-term investment. So instead of you do have to focus on your regular job, and I would encourage people to be, while you're at work, to be working, not on your phone, not taking messages. I see plenty of people in stores who stop a conversation with a customer to answer a cell phone call. When bosses see that, when bosses see that, they're looking for a way to get rid of you. If you want to keep the job you have, make sure, or even look for an opportunity to get a full-time or more hours on the job, you have to show you're working at that task. You also may need to let other people know you are seeking employment. I don't know if someone is looking for a job, and this is an area where some churches have gotten really proactive about, is they're posting, you know, job openings in the bulletin. They tell people that people stand up and do an elevator speech, you know, and a break in the service. So they can say, you know, here we have somebody who's looking for a job. Does anybody know anybody who can help them get a job? But if you make it a secret that you're unemployed or underemployed, then no one else knows and no one else can help you. So
you know, we also wanted to, again, I'm watching very carefully what's going on in Washington, D.C., because the decisions of our Congress will literally impact those who are unemployed and who are currently on unemployment unemployment at this point. They're collecting unemployment. That those benefits may very well run out between now and December 31st, again, because of the politics that are being played in the Senate and also with the House of Representatives. Any suggestions? I'm going to give some in a second or two, but any suggestions, Dr. Waters, for those who are caught in that bind?
Among other things, and you may be going to talk about this, letting your politicians know what you think about those choices is a good way to spend 5 or 10 minutes. Letting the local politicians and your congressional, national politicians know what you think about their choices while they decide what to do. Because I find it interesting. We have money to send overseas or money to put into giant weapon situations, but not money to pay for regular Americans to support themselves. So, you know, you don't want to hear my side of that story, but we have to be responsible for ourselves. We can't just count on the government to take care of us. They've shown over and over again, certainly in the last 10 years, that they're not going to do that. So we need to, in some way, look at our other opportunities. Now, some people, there was a big push, and we know some folk are unfortunately lost their homes through foreclosure, which I think also was a huge banking debacle that the banks could have decided 2 years ago, 3 years ago, to stop foreclosing on people, because now they're going to have millions and millions of homes available for resale, which, of course, are going to go to the giant conglomerates who are then going to buy them up and sell them, you know, at a marked-up price down the road, which unfortunately leaves some folk on the outside. But if your bills exceed your what you can afford to pay, it's maybe time to look at those bills. Can you rethink how you focus on employment? And we've also had a long time of people thinking that you have to love what you do to be successful at it. That is not true. You can, we can, our people, all people in the world at some point have been enslaved. I haven't found a culture yet who hasn't been enslaved at some point during history. So if you got one, let me know. But everybody's been downtrodden, and we've all managed to survive by working. We've all managed to do things maybe we didn't like doing, but we had to do in order to move ahead. So sometimes you have to do things. My parents, and perhaps other people's grandparents, if you said to them, do you love your job? My father or my grandfather would have said, what are you talking about? They said, I need a job to pay for my children to have food and shelter. I can go to work and do a good day's work, whatever work I'm doing. If that's sweeping the floor, okay. If that's, you know, shining shoes, okay. Sometimes you have to do things, and that's a normal part of growth, unfortunately, is that everybody's job is not necessarily a pretty job. I mean, if you're a plumber, what are plumbers charging, $150, $200 an hour?
A fair amount of money, yes.
Yes,
a fair amount of money.
You know, so some might say it's a lousy job. I mean, it's a very highly skilled, trained job because there are dangerous hazards.
Very important one too. Yeah.
But when you're looking for someone, you might electricians, plumbers, tradesfolk. There's nothing wrong with trade jobs. I myself am an electrician. A job I had many years ago before I went back to graduate school. But you never run out of work if you actually can and will do that kind of work and are willing to be flexible. So,
and I think in addition to that also, it's important now is really the time for all of us, certainly in the United States, to really become politically active. I mean, we're talking about a pretty volatile situation in Washington that's going to really affect and certainly scare a lot of people, those who are actively looking for work and they've got a couple of kids at home and they're relying on that unemployment check to bring some food in while they're actively looking for work. Now is the time to pick up the phone and call your representative or your senator and let them know how you feel about what's taking place in Washington. I'll give you two websites. I put it in the chat room because we have people listening in the chat room. If you don't know who your your congressional representative is, you can go to www.house.gov. Put in your address or your zip code, and that person's face and all his her contact information will come up. Call their office and let them know how you feel. They actually register and they monitor the people who call in, and based on the response from their constituents, that's how they vote. And then for the Senate, it's www.senate.gov. Senate.gov. Same information. If you don't know who there are two senators in every state. If you don't know who your senators are, again, that information will be posted at that website. Call both of them, regardless of what committees they're on. So this is the time not only to become creative, as you have said, Dr. Waters, in terms of looking at all kinds of ways of making money, but also picking up the phone and calling your representatives in Congress. And the thing is, it's not just for those who are working. I mean, you're an entrepreneur, I am too, and we're getting slammed too, but it means that I have to really dig deeper and move in all different kind of directions or pull in revenue streams that maybe I had considered in the past, but I'm really going to do it in earnest now just because things are so different. I just got off a webinar with Simon Bailey right before I started the show, and he's talking about the same thing. Shift happens. You've got to shift your thinking. You've got to move and think forward thinking as you are looking at your job or certainly your career path. So I think we're all speaking the same kind of language. What happened in the past, that's gone. You got to think about the here and now and what's going to happen in your future.
I agree. We need to take more control. That's why I keep telling people, you're already a millionaire. It's time to start acting like one.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about, okay, maybe I don't have a job right now. Can I create a job for myself? Do I have skills, abilities, training? Do I need skills, abilities, training? You don't. Every college runs, all the local schools we have around here, they run evening programs for adult learning programs. Centers for Adult Education, where you can take coursework in some other areas that are of interest, that you can develop skills that allow you to have more talent. I mean, if you're a crafty person, this is a time of year, if you'd built a business on crafting, maybe you can sell those little baby blankets you make or other things you do that you give away during the holidays. You can pick up $15, $20, $30, $50 for some of these things over a period of time. So if you have those kinds of inclinations, you might well be able to do other things. I happen not to be crafty, but I help crafty people learn how to build their own businesses. So that's a slightly different format. But I suggest that there's hope. I'm eternally optimistic. There's hope for people who are willing to, as you say, be flexible. We're not necessarily going to get what we want or think we want or wanted in the past, but there are other options for people who are making money. The stock market went up 250 points yesterday. Somebody made money on that. Could have been us.
So life is moving on. You know, you've mentioned a couple of times now this millionaire mindset. I'm intrigued. I know that our listeners are intrigued. Tell us about this millionaire mindset.
Well, I keep talking to people, and it seems to a theme emerged after a while, that a lot of people don't actually understand their long-range capabilities. So the Millionaire Mindset program that I'm developing, I'm going to roll out starting next week, is about helping people reframe how we think about ourselves. To really look at a 40-year life plan, 50-year, 60-year. If you have somebody, a child who's 15, 16 in college, but if they start putting the money you give them away now, they might well be a millionaire by the time they're in their 30s and decide whether they want to keep working or not, because compound interest will start to really play, really starts to become something of interest after about 20 years of investment. But to get people really thinking in a different way about how their life would be, and not necessarily about one particular job or particular career that one might have, but about the bigger picture of financial security. So thinking about how Social Security hopefully will be available to people of a certain age. I'm thinking, maybe I'm wrong, that down the road, the fairest way, if they're going to change Social Security, would be to what we would say in the old school days, is grandfather the people of a certain age and then tell the people below that age, you're on your own.
It's going to be interesting how that's going to work out.
I wish some companies that I've worked for in the past had done that. They just shut everybody out. They just said, okay, no pensions for anybody, which was not good because people who were 65, 70, that was not right. But I want to try to help people start to think about themselves in ways like people who actually have more money think about themselves not in terms of this month, this year, next year. They think about 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. 20 years from now, what would I like my financial situation to be? Because, and sometimes people say, well, I don't want to talk about money. Well, we live in a world where money is how decides how you will live, where your children will go to school, what colleges they might be able to get into, how you're going to spend your retirement. Are you going to have to choose between food, medication, and a place to live? I'm thinking you should be able to have all three.
So how does that apply for someone? Again, I'm going to push you back and get your response. For someone who is really having a tough time during this holiday season, maybe they just lost their job or they've been unemployed for a couple of months, they're over 50, they have pressing bills, they have responsibilities. You know, we have, you and I have friends whose parents are now up in age and they have to be cared for, and so it's a matter of going from your house to your parents' house and taking care of all of their necessities, coming back to your house, taking care of your responsibilities. The phones are ringing, maybe the collection agencies are ringing. For those kind of individuals in this economy, what kind of advice would you share with them in terms of the millionaire mindset?
The first mistake I find most people have in that kind of situation, where they're overextended and they've lost their job and they're trying to, and they're underemployed, they're trying to figure out what to do, their hours have been cut drastically, is to take a picture of where you are financially. See where you are in terms of how much does your income exceed your is your income less than your outgo? Where exactly are you? If you don't know where you are, it's very hard to figure out how to get out of the situation you're in. If you have creditors, you need to contact them and talk to them. You cannot hide from those calls initially. You need to go directly to whoever, the credit card people, the mortgage people, whoever is holding your loan or mortgage or what have you, and talk to them. Sometimes not easy with the large companies who are having these foreclosures, but you must contact them and document that as a normal part of process. Most creditors would prefer you paid them something, even at 1%, 2% interest or 0% interest, than you paid them nothing and you went into bankruptcy. But a lot of people continue to spend money because they don't really know how much they have or don't have, even after they lose their job. And it's a good idea to, if you have a job currently, to think about, am I spending everything I have to spend, which is different than want to spend. I mean, a cable TV bill is often well over $150 to $200 a month.
Right.
You know, people drive a car that's getting 10 miles to the gallon. You know, there's ways and ways. It's kind of hard to sell a gas guzzler at the moment, maybe. But if you can't afford it and it's causing you to wind up on, in the red financially every month, it's time to start thinking about what can I do different. Where you are is where you are. It doesn't make you – failure is an event, not a person.
I love that.
I stole it, but, you know, it's not an original thought. But everybody who's trying to do anything makes mistakes. And even when you're trying to do nothing, that can be a mistake. It's okay to be in a situation where you're uncomfortable or things haven't worked out the way you thought they were going to be, because that's just where you are. Staying there is a different issue. It's like a person with a substance abuse or a drug or a gambling problem. If they stay in the problem, that's different. Once you recognize you have a problem, then it's time to do something about it.
Right.
So that may mean rethinking about, well, what other opportunities do I have to take from somebody else? Many people don't recognize opportunity because he arrives wearing overalls.
And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because on my answering machine right now is a quote by Al Batt, and he said, "It is easy to sit up and take notice. What is difficult is to get up and take action." So that's what you're saying. I mean, you have to not only realize that there's something going on, you're in a deep hole, but you have to figure out, okay, how can I from now begin to pull myself out of this hole? And certainly calling creditors and making those kind of phone calls are critical for your own survival. Most companies now, they realize that the American public in particular, and then you look at what's happening in Portugal and possibly Spain and Ireland and other countries. Greece certainly has had their share of troubles. You know, we're in a worldwide recession that is hitting different countries different ways, and it definitely is hitting we consumers in this country. So pick up the phone and make those kind of phone calls. They're important to make, especially when you're in this kind of job transition status that you're in. Dr. Rhonda Waters, give us your contact information. When we have more questions and we have people in the chat room and people on the line listening, but give us your contact information and then tell us more about your new radio program that's taking shape.
The way to find me, the easiest way to find me is generally through email, although there are people who would say that's maybe not the best way, but welcome to the 21st century, people. It's RFW at M-U-T-A-R-E group, Mutare group, that's all one word, .com. Mutare is Latin for change. Or you could friend me, if you will, or like me on Facebook under mutaregroup.com. And I'll be putting more information about the my upcoming blog talk radio. I'm following in your footsteps once again.
Yay!
So I'm starting a radio program next week, December 8th, from 12 to 12:30. I'm going to talk faster than most people anyhow, so I'm going to start at 12 to 12:30 talking about the first program is going to be about how to pick yourself up.
Yeah.
And how to move ahead in difficult times. My goal is to try and help people understand that they're not alone, that there are many, many millions of people. We see the figures, many, many millions of people in difficult situations. So by emailing me or by liking me on Facebook or linking to me on LinkedIn, if you're a professional person and you're not on the LinkedIn format, I'm actually developing a staff person to help me put people on LinkedIn who don't want to learn to use the software. Because I think there's actually a model for that. Because you and I have friends, Carol, who are professional people who need to be on LinkedIn. They just don't want to join.
That's true.
So
that's true.
For a nominal fee, I'll get somebody to help them do that and just
good
put the paper
you.
Up, and then they can be recognized. Because a lot of companies don't hire from the newspaper anymore, which is really why the newspapers are in so much trouble. They hire from web programs. Hire from other ways of doing things. It's a faster way. And LinkedIn is the professional web page where people contact each other. So on LinkedIn.com, it's Rhonda Waters, PhD. You can find me that way.
Now give us your blog talk URL, blogtalk.com.
Blogtalk.com/ Ask Dr. Rhonda. Ask DrRhonda.
Great. All right, it's in the chat room. So December 8th is the premiere date for your new radio program, 12 to 12:30. That's Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So tell us, give us a little bit about your history. I know that you've been on the air before, and again, people are probably wondering about, who is Rhonda Waters, and how did you come to become an expert in terms of job transitions? Transition. And then you mentioned that you were an electrician years ago, so take us back to those early years.
Yeah, in the land before time. actually, Carol, I'm blaming you for my being in this business because you showed me it could be done.
Oh, boy.
I had no intention. I was going to be a long-term Verizon employee, and I had no intention of going to college or anything else, but they were going to offer managers who had higher academic degrees, more income, and one of my peers said, how women are, we like to go places in groups. She said, well, let's go to the open house at this college, at Cambridge College, and let's see what they have to do over there. I said, I don't want a college degree. She said, no, come on, we want to go and look at this and see what's available, and they're going to pay us more if we get these degrees. So I said, all right, I'll go because you want somebody to go with you, but I'm not signing up. I got over there and I looked around the room. There were about 90 people in the room. I looked around the room and I thought, these people are not any smarter than I am.
Yeah.
And at the time, Verizon had 100% tuition reimbursement.
Wow.
So I had no legitimate reason for not wanting to do it.
Right.
So I got started in that program. And then as I was finishing the master's program, one of my classmates, again, I was not going to do this, a classmate of mine said, we're going to go get our PhD. And I said, I don't think so. I said, I'm sick of going to school. I don't want to be bothered. Come on. We should, look up some, do some research and over the weekend. And between Thursday evening when we had class and Monday morning, I had talked myself into it.
Wow. Good
for you. And it was an opportunity that an employer allowed me to do it without me having to dig through my pockets. And, I for those people who don't have that option anymore, a lot of companies have taken that away.
Yeah, that's true.
Are people mortgage their home so they can go to college? So, if you're that kind of person who's been doing that, I commend you tremendously because that's a real commitment to moving ahead in some way. But that allowed me to have more options. And as I was finishing my doctoral program, I applied for some other jobs in Verizon, and I was told I was essential on my job and I could not transfer to another work group. Now, I don't know about you, but that didn't make any sense to me to keep the same job I had before I had a PhD after I got a PhD.
Wow. So you couldn't move. Wow. That's
no,
amazing.
But I was essential. But I remembered that Lincoln freed the slaves. And I said, I have got to get out of here. And though I didn't really know where I was going, I knew I wasn't staying.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that drove my mother, who you knew, crazy in a way,
but she knew
it didn't make sense for, you know, me to have gone through that. Because old school thinking was if you had a good job, you should keep
it. You keep that job. That's
you
right.
Keep it.
Yeah.
But I got kind of the outside, and I wanted to see Les Brown, who I had admired, mm-hmm. the speaker I admired. And he was speaking at an NSA meeting here in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the meeting, and I brought the program home with me, as I did in those days, to show my mother where I had been. And on the back of the program, you were the chapter president, was your picture. And my mother said to me, I know her. I'm like, Mother, please, do you know everyone? And she said, I know Carol Thomas. And she's a very nice lady. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, right, okay. And so I contacted you, and you encouraged me to get into the new speakers program at NSA, and that kind of helped me see there was a way to earn a living on the other side of Verizon.
Wow.
So
I give
you all credit.
Well, you know, and your mom was just a sweetheart. We were on the board of Cooper Community Center, and I look at the picture that's on Facebook now that you have on Facebook, and my gosh, you look so much like your mom. It's like a younger version of your mother. It's amazing.
Well, I hope so, because my mother was a very attractive woman.
Yeah, and she was she was a real community-spirited, community leadership-oriented woman, too, as you are. But and what was so good is that she supported your move, and that's important for those who are listening, who are thinking about these quantum leaps out of your
mm-hmm.
company. You really can benefit from having support from your family. And the one thing I have to say about my kids, and even my son before he passed away, they were rock solid in always supporting me in my ups and my downs and never
mm-hmm.
once said, well, you need to go back to XYZ. They never said that, even to this day. So, I mean, that's really important, the support that you get from your family, from family members, because if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you are going to have some dark days where
Absolutely.
You are going to be out there
Absolutely.
By yourself, just
no
wandering
question.
Around in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out where you're going to go, and then you know, then there's another day, and then there's
yes.
another day.
And the same thing happens.
Failure is an event, not a person. Love it.
Yeah.
Love
and the
it.
Same thing happens to regular people who think they have a job for life, or they think they know how they're going to get things done. We're all entrepreneurs.
Mm.
Even if you're employed by someone, they're never going to pay you what you deserve.
Right.
The only way to get what you deserve is to earn it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some people have been raised or brought up to think that they have to be dependent upon a paycheck. I would say, and you find this is true amongst, if you read a book like Millionaire Next Door, there are over 10 million millionaires in America.
Right.
And we're going to see money, that much money is going to flow through our hands. How much will stick to us? The average millionaire in America, 97% of them earned it themselves. Only 3% inherited. Everybody else earned it themselves. Foreign-born people, 4 times more likely to become a millionaire in America than a native-born person.
That is so true, and I just had 2 shows on immigrant entrepreneurs, so
mm-hmm.
that, listen carefully, those
yes.
who were born in the United States, that certainly is an option for many people who were not born in this country, and so many of them are doing very well either with a one-store operation
yep.
or their families involved, or in many cases they have multiple locations. It's just I think what you're saying to us in terms of, I love this millionaire mindset, just looking at the long-range capabilities and not just focusing so much on the here and now, but looking retrospectively, but also looking into your future and planning accordingly. And obviously that's the kind of work that you do with your coaching services. Tell us about the work that you're doing online, because you have been an online faculty member for the University of Phoenix for many years.
I have, and I really enjoy it. The thing I like most about working with folk at University of Phoenix and some of the other schools I work with is that adults who are in college, who are have families, children, a life, what have you, grown-ups like myself who went back to school are serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make something positive of their lives. So I like to support people trying to do that. It's not a linear path, but I like working online with people. I've never had any problem with making connections to people online. I know there's a real person on the other end. I even try to make jokes online, which they say is not a good idea, but I can't resist. But I get to deal with people at University of Phoenix. I mentor doctoral candidates, which is a job I had never really thought much about. Once you have a PhD, you can mentor other PhD candidates through the process if you're, you know, if you choose to do that, and depending on your field. Those are additional ways of generating revenue.
Right.
For people who, you know, may have an advanced degree. Is there another way to use your training? So I actually enjoy very much working with the adults who are trying to do something. In fact, I only work now, I've made, you know, some choices for myself, with people who are trying to do something positive in their lives. So sometimes that means I won't work with a company that says, "Well, we've got a really demoralized group, and we don't really want to do anything. We just want you to come in and cheer us up." And I'm like, maybe I'm not the one for that. But I have other friends I can send you to who, you know, come in and do that. I want to work with people who are trying to make meaningful progress in their lives for themselves and their families.
Right.
And University of Phoenix is in line with that.
What kind of advice would you give to someone who has an advanced degree, maybe a master's degree or a doctorate degree, they're working in a job? How would they get involved in either a terrestrial university or an online site like you're with? I know that there is a physical location in Arizona for the University of Phoenix, but clearly they've got these satellite campuses around the country and then your online activities. So can you give our listeners a head start on how they can look to the educational market for job opportunities?
In the education field, there is actually a website that has higheredjobs.com, higheredjobs.com, where they list many of these jobs that are available. So it's an opportunity to look to see what's available at certain schools. And then the individual schools themselves also often have job postings on their own websites and that sort of information. We happen to live in an area here in New England where there's like 65 colleges and universities in the metro Boston area. So they're constantly, hiring people. Now, there are people who want to be tenured faculty and be at work, and that is their job where they're there every day. I don't actually do that because I want to go out and do speaking in other ways, but I like doing the work with the other adult process. So that's a different, that's sort of adjunct faculty or visiting faculty, those kind of things. So there are those opportunities available, but you have to get into the pipeline. And, sometimes it takes a while. People are slow to hire in other places, academic settings, they're not usually the fastest people. You know, they're not going to hire you next week.
Mm-hmm.
There's a long and involved process. You kind of have to walk your way through it. There's usually a several-week or month-long training process that they put you through to learn to use the platforms or the systems, what have you, the school has available. Because even if you're teaching in a classroom, there's still going to be a way. Most places, they require the students to submit their paperwork, not by paper, but by files through a computer.
Right. Right.
So there's very little it's done the other way. It's almost impossible, unless you want to stay in crafts and become a painter or something, to work without having basic computer knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But that's easily acquirable. There are many adult ed senior places. Seniors are actually the second largest group of people getting online every day, after the folk, you know, younger people, people under 18, but people over 60 are the second largest group getting online. So
we're going to give this website out again. We put it in the chat room. It's www.higheredjobs.com. That's higheredjobs.com. And I would say also for those who are somewhat skilled with technology or are learning technology, pay attention to opportunities that are out there for blogging. I mean, I'm hearing more and more about people who are earning a living, six and seven figure income mm-hmm. with blogging. Pay attention. That sometimes it has to be grown organically, so these are not get-rich-quick schemes. These are businesses that you can start organically building up your following online, and then you can take it to the next level. So, I mean, there are webinar opportunities, teleseminars, coaching online, blogging as well. So the whole online community is also a way for you to have part-time income or partial income while you begin to develop your clientele. In wrapping up this session, gosh, we've gone in great directions, and hopefully we've given the kind of information that people need to get a grip and to move past the hole you're in right now and certainly move and look towards your future. As you look toward 2011, Dr. Rhonda Waters, tell us what is on the horizon, or first of all, what's on the horizon for you for 2011, and then you can give our listeners some tips and techniques as they're planning for their future.
Well, I'm returning to some of my roots in the area of coaching and small business development, as I have more time available to do that now. And I really like helping people get businesses started the right way, instead of a way that makes them stressed and their relatives upset because they're spending too much time working. I like helping people start off businesses in a positive way. I am, as I say, one of those positive, cheerful people that I believe there's hope. They'll be trying to put the lid down on me, and I'll be saying one more day, because I think there's always opportunities available, and that it's important for people to remember that there are opportunities. You have to listen for them and watch to see them go by you. Speak to your friends, make sure people know what you're trying to do. But the long range plan instead of short range planning, and I would encourage people to start listening to, in addition to your tremendous blog talk radio program, but to start listening to mine, which will be available for download as well, so they can have get that charge to regroup and go out and face things again for another day, because people also only want to hire folk that they think are going to be fun to be with. And if you come in like sad sack, nobody wants to hire you. Even though you may have a reason to be sad, other folk don't want to see it. So I want to thank you for this opportunity.
Ah, this has been great. This is great. And just one more, and again, we're going to give the name of your show again and the time and the date that it's going to debut.
Okay. It'll be www.blogtalkradio.com. Ask Dr. Rhonda. It will be the first program will be on Wednesday, December the 8th, 12 to 12:30 Eastern Time. I'm just pulling up my blog talk page to tell people the call-in number will be 619-996-1658. Or you can log on through Blog Talk Radio.
You can go to that website, and that telephone number will be there. If you can't write it down right now, just remember Blog Talk Radio, Ask Dr. Rhonda, and that'll take you right there. I know it's going to be a fabulous, fabulous show, and I can't wait to listen and to participate. And you've given us a lot of food for thought today, just looking at ways that we can look introspectively and we can look at our surroundings and certainly do what we can to live within our means. And there's hope. I think what you've done is you've given us a lot of hope today for those who may be on edge of what's taking place in Washington, D.C. We encourage you to definitely call your congressmen or women, your senators, to let them know your feelings and your attitudes about how things are transpiring in Washington and how it has an effect on you. I think more than ever what you've shared with us, Rhonda, and you said this earlier, is you have to take responsibility for yourself. I mean, you can't rely on someone else or other people to do it for you more than ever, because the future is uncertain for all of us, but it means that you are equipped with the resources that God has given you and the opportunities that are out there for you to just make a difference, but it is really up to you in terms of the self-management. Would you not agree?
I agree completely. You're already in charge. It's time for you to get into the driver's seat. You're on the bus. You need to sit down and start driving for yourself.
So, so true. Dr. Rhonda Waters, thank you so much for being a guest on my program, and we wish you the very best. We're going to have you back from time to time, and we're definitely going to listen to your program, too. Take care.
Thank you, Carol. It's been a wonderful conversation with you, as always.
Thank you. Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Rhonda Waters. And again, her website is www.mutare group.com. She's always filled with lots of great information, and we just thank her so much for being on the show today. Well, let's take you back to World Cup. I'm just fascinated with the decision that was made and how things are rolling out in terms of what's going to take place between 2014 and 2018 and 2022. You know, we did a number of shows, and we encourage our listeners to go back into my archives, the shows that I've been having since March of this year. There are quite a few good ones, and there's a lot of information with some of the earlier shows about World Cup that took place in South Africa this summer. So between June and July, we have a whole series of shows talking about World Cup. Go back and familiarize yourself with that. And if you are in the United States, you really need to familiarize yourself with what has happened and the importance and the power of World Cup. I think more than ever before, the committee, the World Cup Federation, that is headed by Sepp Blatter, who is the president of FIFA, the World Cup Federation. They're located in Switzerland, in Zurich, Switzerland. They're making a statement to the United States. They're saying that we're a great country. We hosted the World Cup in 1994, and I'm really excited more than ever now that I was at one of the games here in the Boston area when they played in that year in June of 1994. So, you know, we've had that experience, but we haven't been able to pick it up again and put our bid in effectively. And I'm sure that I'm going to read some more columns and read some more information about this online. But when I hear some of the columnists and some of the sports broadcasters here in the United States making fun of the World Cup and just commenting, well, I didn't play soccer in school, so I don't know what the big deal is, and, you know, it's such a low-scoring game, and making those kind of comments, all of that adds to why we probably didn't win the 2014 and now the 2022 World Cup. It's a big world out there, and as I am seeing and with the calls that I'm on and the business relationships that I'm on, it's a very global world, and there are countries that are emerging that we are not paying attention to. There are whole marketplaces in other parts of the world that are extremely important to our economy. The relationship we have now with China is critical. It's very different than it was 25 or 30 years ago. China is a powerhouse, and there are those who are more readily learning English than we are learning Mandarin and other languages. You look at how important India is. So it means that, and this is an empowerment message, it means that it's so important now for us to have a world perspective and a world view on things because the world is changing, and in order for us to be a competitive factor in the world, and I'm just talking about us as individuals, as business owners, as employees, as employers, it means it's very, very important for us to really understand how the world is really operating now. And the world leaders are looking for change, and they're looking for change in other parts of the world. And that's probably why certainly Qatar, or Qatar as it is often pronounced, Middle Eastern country, very wealthy country, a destination as well, is now going to be hosting that 2022 World Cup. And Russia, a very large country, there was some concern about the massiveness of their size. And again, many of these games are played in different cities, so getting from one city to the next is going to be a strategic importance in Russia as they are building stadiums and as they are putting their face forward to the world. They now have 8 years to do that because the 2018 games is when they're going to be hosting. So it's just really fascinating. We have Brazil in 2014. We have 2018 now in Russia and 2022 in Qatar, three countries hosting the World Cup for the first time. What does that mean for the United States? What does it mean for those of us in the United States who may mockingly talk about soccer and do it in a way that in many takes away from the respect that we should have for people who live outside of the United States? Go back and listen to some of the shows that I've had during the summer where I explain the game and explain what happens with the tournament and the countdown and the playoffs, et cetera. We know that Spain was the big winner for the 2010 World Cup, and yet they didn't win the 2018 bid. They were teaming up with Portugal, and it just didn't work out for them. But world out there, and it's a world where we really have to realize that we're globally connected. It's a world of change, and change may be happening right in your own household, as we've talked about jobs during this session. But it means that there are going to be opportunities out there like never before. It's a matter of being astute, being aware, paying attention to what's going on, learning, paying attention to different cultures, learning more about different cultures. You can do an awful lot of that this holiday season with food. But through it all, it's going to be, I think, a wonderful way to say the world is out there for each and every one of us in a very unique way. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with another exciting show. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. We'll see you later.